You're smarter than me. You had your tape recorders going during the introduction. I forgot to put mine on. I have to hear that introduction over and over again. If I ever forget who I am or what I am, I can always listen to that, but I didn't get it. But all right, I don't take myself that seriously. I want to spend the next hour in the fulfillment of mitzvah saseh. I want to read from the Shari Tshuva L'Rabbeinu Yonah. It's Shar Shlishi, Perek Yud Zayin. The Rabbeinu Yonah says the following: Yada ki hamalot ha'elyonot nimsiru lanu b'mitzvot aseh. You should know that all of the highest virtues of Torah have been transmitted to us through the vehicle of a positive commandment. The Rabbeinu Shlomo took whatever is significant and important in building our character and personality, and he made it into a mitzvah saseh. Kimo ma'alot ha'b'chida. Man has free will. Man has choice. Shenema u'bachar to'bachayim. So the Rabbeinu Shlomo made a mitzvah saseh, choose life. Umalos Talmud Torah, the importance of Talmud Torah, the great virtue of Talmud Torah, Shenema v'dibar topon. It is a mitzvah. Umalot lechet b'darkei Hashem. It is a great virtue to walk in the footsteps of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in His ways. So therefore it says, v'halachta b'drachot. Umalat shleimut habitachon. There is the great virtue of trusting HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That too became a mitzvah saseh. Shene'emar tomim tihyeh im Hashem Elokecha. You should walk with tmimus, with a wholeness, with Hashem Elokecha. Umalot hidbonein b'gedulat Hashem. There is also the virtue of pondering and meditating the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shenema, as it says, V'yodata hayom v'ashevot elavavecho ki Hashem hu ha'elokim. You should know it. You have to think about it. You have to meditate about Gavlut Hashem. V'David Amar, David said, Hashem yishomayim hishkif al bnei adam lidot hayesh maskil doreshet elokim. The next virtue that the Shari Tshuva talks about that has been turned into a mitzvah saseh, in his opinion, malot zichron chasodov, remembering God's kindness to us, v'hidbonein v'hem, and to meditate and to think about it and to understand it well. We have to be able to see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done us great acts of loving kindness. It's a mitzvah saseh lehitbonein b'hem. Shenemar v'zocharta kol haderech, remember the entire road that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took you throughout the desert until he brought you to Eretz Yisrael. V'nemar, and it also says, v'yodata milavavecha, you should know it in your heart. As a man chastises his son, Hashem Elokecha miyasrecha, God your God chastises you. The David Amar. This is what we're getting to. This is the mitzvah that we're going to talk about. The David Amar, the yidboninu chazdei Hashem. You have to think about chazdei Hashem. You have to take note of the fact that the Rebbe Shem did a great chesed. Not only do you have to take note of it, you have to know it, you have to realize it, you have to thank, you have to be mode, mahalel, umishtabeach l'kodesh baruch hu al chasodov, mitzvas aseh. Where is this pasuk, v'dovid omar v'yidbonenu chazdei Hashem? Perek kuv zayin in Tehillim, hodu l'Hashem ki tov, ki liolam chazdo, Yomru Geulei Hashem Asher Geolam Miyad Zor. I don't know what nusach you daven, but those who daven nusach svard, we say that before Ashrei Mincha Erev Shabbos. Do you know which perek in Tehillim I'm talking about? The one that describes the arba shetzrichim lahodos, the four that have to give thanks and praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yordei Hayam, Yotzei Mibeis Vasudim, Cholesh in Ischapa, one who passed through a desert. You don't know that parak? Make it your business that you should learn that parak. Kuf Zayin. It's long, but it's worthwhile learning it. Hodu Hashem ki tov, thank the Rabbeinu Shalom, ki liolam chazdo. Now when one reads the chapter in a superficial manner, one thinks that it is only telling us the halacha that one who was ill and was healed, one who passed through a desert and emerged safely, or one who crossed an ocean and arrived on the other side, or the one who was in prison and finally is committed out of prison, that these four have to give Shavah V'Adoyach L'Kodesh Baruch Hu. So you have to understand that the Me'iri, and following him, many of the Rishonim and Achronim say that this Perek of Hodu L'Hashem Ki Tov Ki L'Olam Chazda is talking about the beginnings of Geula in time to come. Because he says that Jews who are ultimately going to make it to Eretz Yisrael, and listen to the second pasuk there, Hodu L'Hashem Ki Tov Ki L'Olam Chazda, who should thank him? Yomru Geulei Hashem Asher Geolam Miatzor, those who the Rabbeinu Shel Olam redeemed from the hands of oppressors, Kiptzam Mimaro Mitzafon Mimizrach Umiyam, he gathered Jews in from all four corners of the world. Where did he gather them into? He gathered them into Eretz Yisrael. The Meiri says when Jews are going to begin returning to Eretz Yisrael, they're going to return, and they're certainly going to have to pass a yam, they're going to have to pass through an ocean in order to get to Eretz Yisrael. There are those that are going to come from the desert. There are those who are going to be imprisoned and locked up in concentration camps. There are those who are going to be deathly ill. But ultimately, the Rabbeinu Shem is going to bring them to Eretz Yisrael. And four times, no less, in that period, David HaMelech says, Yodul Hashem Chasto V'nifla'otav L'vnei Adam. You have to thank God for his chasadim, and you have to tell it to people. The last pasuk in that chapter, Mi Chacham V'yishmar Eile. Whoever is wise will keep these things. He'll hold on to them. He'll make sure that he knows them. V'yidboninu Chasdei Hashem. That's the pasuk that the Shari Tshuva brings. V'yidbonenu, they're going to think about, they're going to meditate, they're going to ponder, they're going to review time and time again in their hearts and their minds, Chazdei Hashem. Mitzvah Hasei, Shari Tshuva L'Rabbeinu Yonah. The return of Klal Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael and the gift of Eretz Yisrael to Klal Yisrael in our days is one of the greatest chasadim that the Rebbeinu Shem did for Klal Yisrael throughout all of history. And we are the beneficiaries. We're the ones. We're the ones who are zeicha to see it. We're the ones that are zeicha to enjoy it. There's a chiyuv mitzvah asei to me be midbonein. To see this as the great chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for Klal Yisrael, to know that it's a chesed, and make no mistake. I'll tell you what I'm getting at. I want to make a diuk in this pasuk, and I think it's an emes of pshat in the pasuk. I followed for a number of years the Sichot and the Shmuzen that are given in different girls' schools and in different yeshivas today, tomorrow, this whole week. Now in many of them, the topic of the Sicha is going to be why we don't celebrate Yom HaAtzmaut. and some hotshot Kanoi is going to come in over there. And I have a number of tapes. I have the great, unbelievable. One fellow, I hear him yelling. I'm yelling and screaming on the tape. My tape just starts jumping. And he says, say Hallel, celebrate. It's so terrible here. It's so terrible here. Oh. It's so terrible there. By the way, in any given year, you can always find something to say that's terrible. There's Chil Shabbos. Guys, take it easy. There's Chil Shabbos. There's Achilles Treifus. There's a government now that's taking away all sorts of money from the yeshivas. There are goyim living in this country. Don't ask any given year. It's an amazing history. I remember one year, it was after the Russian Olim started coming in. So somebody was describing Russian Olim digging in the garbage for food. And then he gives a scream. This we have to celebrate. I have another document. Somebody sent it to me. I'm an innocent little guy. Somebody sends me a document that's floating around on the internet. You know, anything you want, you can find on the internet. Somebody who said that the greatest Chilul Hashem since Bri'as HaOlam was the establishment of the State of Israel. Isn't that a great statement? You understand? This is a great statement. They're all missing the point. David HaMelech is saying, V'yizbonun uchazdei Hashem. We have to think about the chasadim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for us. What we do with it, that's the next step. Rav Huttner once said, somebody's going to take a Sefer Torah and hit somebody over the head. Does the Sefer Torah lose any of its kedusha? Somebody takes a pair of tefillin and pokes somebody's eye. Tell me, are the tefillin less holy? The Rebbeinu Shlom gives a gift of Eretz Yisrael to Klal Yisrael. Now, if somebody is Mechal Shabbos, does that diminish the greatness of the gift? Of course not. That's why David HaMelech says, V'yizboninu chasdei Hashem. Forget all the rest. Just see what the Rebbeinu Shlom is doing for you. Unparalleled and unmatched in the annals of all of history. It never happened. Lo hoysa kosalsi. That a people return to their ancestral land after an absence of 2,000 years and 3 years after Auschwitz establish a state. Lo hoya v'lo nivra. It happened with only one people in our days. And that was Chesed Hashem. There is absolutely no such thing as Klal Yisrael ever receiving ownership over Eretz Yisrael that's not Matnas Hashem. The Farshim say it says so many times in Chumash, I'm bringing you to the land Asher Anochi Notein Lecha. Asher Anochi Notein Lecha. How many times? In order to remind Jews, you should know, if you get Eretz Yisrael, it came from only one source. That was an act of the Rebbeinu Shlom. As far as I'm concerned, Yom HaAtzma'ut is the great Chesed Hashem. V'yidboninu chazdei Hashem is a mitzvah asei that we have to see the Chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, there are problems. Of course there are problems. Ezra and Nehemiah came back to build the second base on Mikdash. Just learn Ezra and Nehemiah. It may be worthwhile for you to do it. The economic problems were horrible. They were awesome. The enemies living within Eretz Yisrael who were opposed to Ezra and Nehemiah's return, legion, all over the place. They were under the heel of of Persia. Men that came here with non-Jewish wives, read the Prokim. Their names are all mentioned. Were there problems? Of course there were problems. So what? So what? But those were the beginnings. Those were the beginnings. Yes. And they dealt with the problems. And they dealt with the problems. But the gift of Eretz Yisrael, Chasdei Hashem. Absolute Chasdei Hashem. We were zeiche in our days to something that 2,000 years of Jews were not zeiche to. Are we zeiche that we were, because we were better? Not necessarily at all. If we were zeiche, it was first of all because of the cumulative zechuyot of great Jews throughout history. It added up. It added up until the Rebbe Yishai says, Higi Azman. Did Klal Yisrael need it desperately? Oh yes, did we need it desperately. 3 years after the Shoah, you understand, there are still 500,000 Jews in DP camps, displaced person camps in Europe. 500,000 Jews. The remnants, the Sheres HaKleita. America the Beautiful took in 100,000 after the Second World War, and that's it. Canada, during the Second World War, they were asked to take in 20,000 children. The chutzpah. They don't have any place. Canada has enough place to put in another 1 billion people today, and they won't know the difference. It's one of the biggest countries in the world. But they didn't have place to 20,000 Jewish children, you understand? Great Britain. Tony Blair's Great Britain, you understand? You know why Great Britain is no longer the queen of the seas? Because they had their destroyers and their battleships placed along the coast of Eretz Yisrael so that a Jew should not be able to slip out of Europe and God forbid get into Eretz Yisrael. Left it shut just at the moment that we needed it more than any other. And then the Rebbe Yishai said, Al apam val chamasam of the whole world, I'm giving Eretz Yisrael to Klal Yisrael. This is a chesed unparalleled. Unparalleled in history. No other people was zeicher to this kind of a chesed. I have very, very little patience.
Get out of here. These guys don't begin to understand. They don't begin to understand what has happened over here. They don't begin to understand.
Do we have problems? You know, living is a big problem. Life is full of problems. And you know what the stuff of life is made of? Solving problems. I've said it time and time again. We'd have another 100,000 Fumi Yidden coming from the United States to live in Eretz Yisrael. Oh boy, we'd make a revolution over here. We'd make a revolution. So you have to know that in order to fulfill the mitzvah of lehizbonein b'chasdei Hashem, it's our responsibility to take a look at the great chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for us here, now, that we benefit from every day. And by the way, the means by which one expresses it makes very, very little difference to me. I don't care. I say Hallel. If somebody doesn't want to say Hallel, wants to make a Suda and sing Yerushalayim Yerucha B'Bakashim. The form makes no difference to me. It's the substance. do you realize that the Rebbein Shlom did chassadah for us that he hasn't done in 2,000 years? Do you realize it? Are you aware? Do you thank? Do you praise? Or do you walk around finding fault? This David HaMelech, he was a genius. He was a genius. Ure'ei betuv Yerushalayim kol yimei chayecha. You know why David HaMelech said that? I tell you, I have a friend from Muncie, and this is not my friend. I mean, just happened to live in Muncie. So I'm not starting off with Muncie. Don't be wrong. Don't be wrong. Okay. Every time he comes to visit here, he aggravates me. He walks into the house, and he already complains about something. Mama, he never walked into my house without complaining. Until one time I had it, and I said, Yibidi, don't ever again set foot in my house until you can say something nice about Eretz Yisrael. You have something nice to say? Come right, step right in. You have nothing nice to say? I don't want to hear from you. Yizbonenu chazde Hashem. This fellow is simply incapable of seeing anything good here. Everything is bad. David HaMelech knew that there are people like that. And therefore, David HaMelech said, you know, Ure'ei, take a look, B'tuv Hashem, Be'eretz Chaim. Ure'ei B'tuv Yerushalayim, Kol Yimei Chayecha. V'yidbonenu Chazdei Hashem. Don't tell me about man's weaknesses. Don't tell me about the problems that man may create. Problems are so that they should be solved. And then, at the same time that these fellows, most probably at the very same time that I'm speaking here right now, there must be 50 guys speaking in Yerushalayim saying how terrible it is here. Oh, this year they have loads. What are you talking about? A government with Shinoi. And Avdal, God, the Avdalniks, they're no good. And she said, there's so much, it's great. There's so much to say. It's so terrible here in this country. So you also have to know that in a lot of other respects, unbelievable what has taken place over here. I learned in Eretz Yisrael in 1955 or 56. I don't think there's a single one of you who was born then. I'm sure. I learned in yeshiva here in 1955 and 56. The so-called yeshiva world was pitiful. You could count the number of yeshivas on one hand, and the ones that could count on the other hand was most so small they didn't count anyway. And in this secular, anti-Torah state, what has taken place is the greatest explosion of Torah learning in all of Jewish history. Do you hear what I'm saying? In this Chilani Medina, you understand, with all of these guys walking around cutting off payas, and there were terrible things that were done. There's no question about it. In 55, I was already in the Mabarot. The Mabarot were the transit camps. Hundreds of thousands of Jews fled from all over the world to Eretz Yisrael. They didn't have houses to go into. They put up tents. There were cities of tents. You know what it was like walking through a tent city after a winter rain? People lived in mud. And we had yeshiva rabbis that went out to welcome and greet and bring up his Dvar Hashem to these people. They were very, very difficult times. Food was rationed. Do you know about food rationing? You know the clue? I'm really date myself now. I remember food rationing in the United States of America during the Second World War. I don't remember the First World War nor the Spanish-American War. Rationing. I've always said this before. In Panovich, there was two eggs a week per student. and about an ounce of meat. And they take the ounce of meat and they make meatballs out of it. All the leftover challah from Shabbos was mixed in with the meatballs, and they said that's the pshat and benching. Who knows saying lechem lechol basar? Those were the meatballs that we ate in Panikov. And we learned Torah. How do you like that? We learned Hasmada Gedola. But here we're talking about an explosion of Yiddishkeit in this country. How anybody can say, it's terrible here, it's terrible here. I know, I was at a bar mitzvah, you know, minding my own business at a bar mitzvah, and some fellow comes out and he starts talking, schmoozing with me, and I ask him, how is he managing? He has a large family. He says, now with the new economic package that's going to be passed, that's going to cut a great deal of money from yeshivas and from kollelim and for child support and all of these things, says it's going to be very, very difficult. Then he tells me, not as an afterthought, and they're doing it to us with such sinner. Didn't take me a second, and I went after this guy doing it to you with a sinner. My old age pension is down to nothing. I listed every sector of this society that's going to suffer because the country is going broke. These are difficult economic times. How dare a fella say they're doing it to us with sinner? Not a single sector of the economy is going to emerge without being hurt by it. There's some kind of a paranoia here. They're doing it to us with sinner. And sin here is a government. Yes, this Kiloni government have been the greatest Tomchei Torah in all of history as well. None of the yeshivas would have survived without government support. But the Yikr is to be Mizbonein B'chazdei Hashem. And that's the mitzvah saseh that we're here to talk about. Mizbonenu B'chazdei Hashem. And if we're going to be Mizbonein and Chazdei Hashem, then we have to understand that everything depends on our ability to see very, very clearly the three basic pillars of the Chesed Hashem. And the Chesed Hashem began well before Yom Ha'atzma'ut, Hei Iyar 1945, Tavshin Chet. It started well before that. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Tzadik Dalid Omid, Tzadik Ches Omid Aleph. Well, lucky I caught myself on that. Somebody go look at Tzadik Dalid and wouldn't find it. There would have gone my whole shir. They'd say I made up the Gemara. I didn't make up the Gemara. The Gemara is on Daf Tzadik Ches Amid Aleph in Sanhedrin, with the Gemara after a lengthy machloket between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yoshua. Is Geula dependent on tshuva or not? Rabbi Eliezer says, "Im ein yisrael osim tshuva, if Klal Yisrael doesn't do tshuva, einon nigolin, they're not going to be redeemed." And Rabbi Yehoshua says, even if they don't do tshuva, nigolin, they're going to be redeemed. By the way, it doesn't necessarily have to mean ultimate geula, but the process, atchalta de geula, reishit smichat geulateinu, begins even if Klal Yisrael has not done tshuva. And each one brings psukim to prove his point. The last one to bring the pasuk is Rabbi Yehoshua, that tshuva is not necessary. The Rebbe Yishma is going to bring the geula. When its time comes, it comes, even if we don't do tshuva. And when he brings that last pasuk, the Gemara says, Ishtig, Rabbi Eliezer remains silent. Immediately after, the Gemara says, V'omar Rab Abba, and Rabbi Abba said, Ein l'choketz megula mizeh, there is no greater revealed end of days. If you want to know why there are those amongst us who describe the establishment of the State of Israel, or for that matter, just the whole period in which we find ourselves. Why there are those of us who refer to it as Reshit Smichat Gulatenu, the beginning of the flowering of our redemption. It's based on this Gemara on Tzadik Ches Amad Aleph in Sanhedrin. V'amar Rababa, Rababa said, Ein l'cho keitz n'gulam zeh. There is no greater revealed, if you want to see a revealed end of days, then you know, this is it. And he simply quotes a pasuk in Yechezkel. Lamed Vav, chapter 36, pasuk Ches. Va'atem horei Yisrael, and you mountains of Israel, Antachem titenu, give out your branches, ufer yechem tisu, and carry your fruit, la'ami Yisrael, for my people Israel, ki kervu lavo, because the time of their return is coming close. Rashi explains that when Eretz Yisrael will begin to give out fruit, then you should know, get ready, Jews are on their way home. It was at the beginning of the last century that Eretz Yisrael started little by little giving out its fruit. For 1900 years, Eretz Yisrael was desolate. You must have seen in who knows how many places Mark Twain's description in Innocents Abroad of a trip that he made to Palestine in 1870, 1875. I tell you, you need a big bottle of May Aden before you read his description. He describes a land, nothing lives there. Dry, dust, nothing grows. The sun bakes down. It's an unbelievable description. This isn't Tom Sawyer on the Mississippi. This is Mark Twain and Eretz Yisrael. He describes a country with no life. It's dead. Oy, if he would have come back 100 years later to take a look at Eretz Yisrael, 50 years later, we've come back to look at Eretz Yisrael, he said, that can't be. This looks like the San Fernando Valley. This is not Palestine that he had visited. By the way, that was the Haptocha, the Baruch HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In the Tochicha, the Rebbe Shem says, Vahashimoti aniyat ha'aretz, I'm going to make the land desolate. V'shamamu aleho yivechem hayoshim bo, and your enemies who live in the land are going to be desolate. Rashi and the Ramban say, Besora tov al Yisrael, this is good news to Klal Yisrael. So in the middle of the terrible Tochicha, in the Chukosai, here comes the good news. The good news is that no people will ever be able to settle Eretz Yisrael. Don't think that while you're going to be absent from Eretz Yisrael for who knows, 1,000, 2,000 years, some industrious people are going to come in here and they're going to start plowing and planting and the land is going to give out its fruit. It's not going to happen. I always wondered how Rashi was able to write that and then sleep at night. Wasn't he afraid, I don't know, 50 years from Rashi's time, the Japanese will come to Eretz Yisrael and they'll start plowing and planting, and you understand, Sonis will come out of the ground. Rashi slept well. The Pasuk said, V'shamamu aleha yivechem, your enemies are going to be desolate, it's going to be desolate. Eretz Yisrael will respond only to the hands of Klal Yisrael, and when Eretz Yisrael begins to give out fruit, then you know that the time for Kibbutz Golios is coming. And on this the Gemara says, Ein lecha keitz megula mizeh, there is no more revealed end of days than this. And Eretz Yisrael begins to give out its fruit. We saw that in our days of Cook writes. Anybody who's going to attempt to understand the events of our time without beginning with the Keitz HaMegula will of necessity make terrible mistakes and never come to any understanding of what's taking place. So the Keitz HaMegula, you should know that Eretz Yisrael remained faithful to Klal Yisrael. Never, no population were ever able to sustain itself. It's only when Jews started coming back that the land started giving out its fruit. It's a fact.
By the way, if that fact would only be understood by the world, all the Arabs that came here after Jews returned. It started becoming a prosperous country. There were jobs here. Arabs from the Middle East started infiltrating Eretz Yisrael in the last century, in the 20s, in the 30s. And the British were here making sure they could get in as many Arabs as possible so that there will ultimately be a battle over Eretz Yisrael. That's the case, Hamidullah. You see a tomato, then you know that this is Yad Hashem. It was on the basis of that Gemara that I once coined what I think is a great phrase. If you want to talk to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, you go to the Kotel. If you want to see him, you go to Shuk Machne Yehuda. Anybody know what Shuk Machne Yehuda is? You don't know what Shuk Machne Yehuda is? You do. Oh, good. So, remember I once said, what, that every terrorist in the Middle East knows where Shuk Machne Yehuda is. So, you should know as well. I remember I was minding my own business one night shopping with my wife in one of the supermarkets. And there I was in the fruit and vegetable section. And some Kanoi from Haranov gets a hold of me and he says, you think this is Geula, you understand? You know, I'm supposed to be the resident Zionist in Haranov. That's okay. That's okay. I can take it. You think this is Geula, and he started with, you know, this is wrong, and that's wrong, and the next thing's wrong. So I turned to him and I said, you're standing near the tomatoes, and you're not ashamed of these tomatoes to say this is not a process of Geula. The tomatoes know that it's Geula. They wouldn't be here otherwise. I'm not sure he ever understood me. It doesn't make a difference. I think he fainted. He's got to scrape him off the floor in the fruit and vegetable section. So you have to understand Kate Hamikula. By the way, this pasuk in Yechezkel, Va'atem Hore Yisrael, Amtechem Titenu, Uferichem Tisu, La'ami Yisrael, Ki Kervu Lavo, is quoted one more time in Shas. I don't know what I'll give the guy who can tell me where it is. I take it nobody can tell me where it is. You'll never forget after this. The Gemara in Daf Yud Zayin on the days in Megillah gives us the order of the Shmona Esrei that the resident Bucky who goofed it. Okay. The Gemara gives us the order of the Shmona Esrei. Each one of the brachas is in a specific position in the Shmona Esrei. They come to the bracha of Baruch Aleinu. Baruch Aleinu Sashon Azos, etc., etc. That's the Birchas Haaretz, saying Baruch Al Pnei Ha'adama, Baruch Atah Hashem, Mevarech Hashanim. So the Gemara says that bracha is there, and by the way, most important, what bracha does it precede? What's the next bracha? Tekar b'shofar gadol l'cheinu seinu. Before kibbutz Golios, do you know what must happen? The land has to give out its fruit. The land has to prepare itself to sustain a population. So the Gemara says that Chazal will taken the bracha of Baruch Aleinu before the bracha of Tekar b'shofar gadol l'cheinu seinu. There's going to be Kate Hamagula. And after the Kates HaMagul is going to come Kibbutz Golios. And do you know what's going to happen? The next step is going to be Hoshiva Shofteinu Kuvarim Shona.
we are going to reach a stage in time where it won't be Shinui running the government. I'm not sure whether it's going to be Agudel or Mizrahi. Chances are it'll be Mizrahi. We know how to do it best, right? But there's a process. Geula is a process. And the process begins with Eretz Yisrael. You understand? The Nes Golui of Eretz Yisrael after 1900 years of not sustaining a population begins to sustain a population. It happened before our eyes. It happens every time. I tell you, I go to the United States or to Canada, a tomato doesn't have the same time. And Eretz Yisrael to get tomato. What a taste, what a taste. Because there's something, they must have all sorts of stuff that's injected into them. They just don't have the calm of a real good tomato. So here we have Kate Samagulu, which is the Brocha Baruch Aleinu. And the next thing is Kibbutz Golios. That's the next, I said there are three Yesodos. The second is Kibbutz Golios. I have said time and time again, I don't need any sophisticated proofs, either that Torah is MS or that God exists. I don't need any more to go into any of those conversations that we used to have as students in yeshiva in years ago. It's all unnecessary. All you take a look is what has taken place over here, and you will know that before our very eyes, hundreds of psukim in Tanakh have become alive. It's all happened. All of the psukim that talk about v'shav Hashem Elokecha Shvutcha v'richamecha v'shav v'kibetzcha v'kolcha amim asher hafitzcha Hashem Elokecha shoma im yeni dachacha v'kzeh Hashemayim misham mikabetzcha u'misham yikachecha the heavy achani will bring you there as a star. How many psukim in Yishayahu, Yirmiyahu, Yechezkel? Also, it's unbelievable. Hundreds of psukim describing we're going to come from the north, from the south, from the east, and the west. The sick, the ill, the lame, the infirm. The redemption is going to bring them. It's going to bring them. That's us. We're the living evidence that Tanakh is Emes. We're the living evidence that Torah is true. I don't need any proof. Hundreds upon hundreds of psukim. And if you learn them, you'll see that there's a tremendous amount of diyuk. You can learn into each one of these psukim. If you know the events that have taken place in the course of the last 50, 60, 70 years, it's all there. It's unbelievable. How can anybody say that this is not Yad Hashem? How could it occur to anybody that this is not a Nez Golui? This is a Chesed HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They were all there. They were all there in the Renaissance, Mitzvah, Shabbos, Hanukkah. They sure were. We talked then about Kibbutz Golios. Just coming here now. I think they always announce it right before Yom HaTzmud, that there are about 5,400,000 Jews in Eretz Yisrael today, up from 400,000 55 years ago. Unbelievable. Unprecedented. Biggest Jewish community in the world, right here. 55 years ago, there were 400,000, 450,000 Jews here. 100 years ago, there were 17,000 Jews living in Yerushalayim. How do you like that? 17,000. 100 years ago. A little more than 100 years ago.
Cool. Mother Rebbeitz, I hope you're preparing question and answers afterwards. One, two, want to hear some darker questions, Jeff. Yeah.
I'm automatic.
All right. Well,
so the second of the three pillars, the first was the Ketam Egula, the second was Kibbutz Golios, and the third is Atzmaut, being an independent people. We own the land. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it to us. And there are those who sort of mock that value. I remember somebody stopped me one day and said, you know, such and such rabbi said, if it's such a big inyan to celebrate Yom HaTzmut, why didn't Ezra and Nehemiah do it when they came back to Eretz Yisrael? And this person asked me the question, thinks this is it. They got gold now, he's finished. So I said, you know, they did make a Yom HaTzmaut for the second Beit HaMikdash. Really? Yeah? Tell me all about it. So I want you to listen to two psukim. It's a tefillah that Klal Yisrael says in Yerushalayim after Ezra and Nehemiah have come back. By the way, part of it, the first part of that tefillah we say in davening every morning. That whole keta before Oz Yoshe. Ato Hashem l'kim asher b'char to b'yavron v'yitzeis v'yirkav. They are now laying the foundations for the second Beis HaMikdash. Big day. And they say the following, Hinei anachnu hayom avodim. They're back in Eretz Yisrael and they say, we're slaves. V'oretz asher nosatol avisteinu, the land that you gave to our fathers. Lechol et pirio, to eat her fruit, betuva, and her good. Hinei anachnu avodim aleha. We are slaves here. And all that we own, our bodies, the fruit of the land, our animals, they rule over us, kiditzonam, ubitzora gedola anachnu, and we are in great and dire straits. This is the dedication of the Beis HaMikdash, no less. And what are the dire straits that they're in? They came back and were a vassal state in the Persian Empire. So what are they concerned about? It's clear what they're concerned about. We're not free. We have no independence. We're not a people who rules ourselves. We are under the heel of the Persian Empire. When did the first moment come during the period of Bayit Sheni that Klal Yisrael became independent people in their own land? The Rambam says it very clearly. The Chafei B'Kislev, the Chashmonaim, came in to the Beit HaMikdash. V'chozra ha-malchut li-Yisrael yeter al-matayim shana. And Malchus returned to Klal Yisrael for more than 200 years. The first moment that Jews became independent in Eretz Yisrael during the period of Bayit Sheni. And you know what they did? They made an 8-day yontif with Halal Shalom each one of the 8 days. Of course Ezra and Nehemiah would not make a yontif because they were part of they were subservient to an empire. Avodim, we are avodim. We are not the masters of our own destiny. When they did become, they made a yontif. So we have Ketz HaMegula, we have Kibbutz Goliot, we have Atzmaut. These are Chazdei Hashem, B'yidbonenu Chazdei Hashem. There are Gemara Makis in the house. I just want to read one Gemara
that everybody knows. Here, look at, okay. Thank you very much. Everybody knows the Gemara. Who doesn't know the Gemara? But you know what? Every time you read a Gemara, something strikes you that didn't strike you before. And if there isn't something new that strikes you, then you didn't learn it another time. Famous Gemara at the end of Masechta Markus about Rabbi Akiva and Chachma Yisrael, the Gemara says two stories. The first story is Tamar once Ukvar Hayur Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Eliezer ben Azari, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Akiva Mahalchim Baderech. They were going on the road and they heard the sounds of Rome, the sounds of the Malchus of Rome. They began to cry, and Rabbi Akiva smiling. Amrulosa, they said to him, "Mipneimah Thomas Sachet, most probably half of you made a siyum on this for your bar mitzvahs, right? None of you finished Marcus? I thought that was the in thing. All right, so you'll learn it now." So they see Malchus Romi. So the Chachmei Yisrael are crying, and Rabbi Akiva smiling. So they ask him, "Why are you smiling?" So he said to them, "Why are you crying?" So they said, "Halalu, these fellas, they have a desire, shemishtachavim la'atzavim u'mekatrim la'avodis kechavim, yoshim betach v'hashkei, they're living in security. V'onu, beit hadom ragleinu, we, our house, the house of the Rebbeinu Shleilam, sort of ba'esh, is burned in fire, v'lon nifkem, we shouldn't cry." Amalahen, so he said to them, "That's precisely why I'm smiling." Because he says, Kal v'chome, imla ovredit sonol kach, if this is what the Revision does for the Romans who transgress, can you imagine what the schar is going to be for Klal Yisrael, la'asid lavo? Then comes the second story is even more famous. V'shuv tam achas, then there was another time that they were coming up toward Yerushalayim. When they arrived at Harat Sofim, Karu Vigdeim, they tore Kriya. When they came to Harat Bayis, they saw a fox going out of the base, Kodshe HaKadoshim. Chachmei Yisrael began to cry. Hischilu Hein Bochin, Rabbi Akiva Mitzachek, and Rabbi Akiva is smiling or laughing. So they said to him, "Why are you laughing?" So he said to them, "Why are you crying?" So they said to him, "Why shouldn't we cry? The place where it says, V'hazor HaKorev Yumas, Azor, a Yisrael is not a Kohen Gadol, he's going to go into that place. He'll be put to death. V'achshav Shualim Hilchuba. There are foxes going through there. V'lo Nifka, we shouldn't cry." So he said to them, "That's why ani mitzachek, I'm laughing. Why am I laughing?" Because Yishayahu says, "V'o'idoli edim nemonim, esuriya ha-kohen, bezichariya ben yivirechyo." I have two witnesses, Uriah and Zechariah. Uriah and Zechariah were two Nevi'im. Sorry, Yakiv asks, Uriah was Bayit Sheni. Uriah was Bayit Rishon. Zechariah was Bayit Sheni. How does Yeshayahu say that he brings these two people together as witnesses? And witnesses for what? Sir Yakiv says the following. Uriah's Nevuah was that Yerushalayim is going to be plowed under, destroyed utterly. And Zechariah says, "O yesh uzekenim uzekenos berechovos Yerushalayim." The elderly are going to sit in the streets of Yerushalayim. Children are going to play in the streets of Yerushalayim. So Rabbi Akiva said, "Ad shalom iskaima." Before the Nevuah of Uriah was fulfilled, I was not sure what would be with the Nevuah of Zechariah. But now that I see that the Nevuah of Uriah, of absolute total destruction, has come true, now I am certain that the Nevuah of Zechariah, who said, the elderly and the young will be in the streets of Yerushalayim, filling her streets, now I am certain that the Yeshua is going to come. Kach Amrulo.
Beloshan hazeh omrulo, Akiva nichamtanu, Akiva nichamtanu. Akiva, you have consoled us. Akiva, you have consoled us. Can you imagine? No, we can't. How do you think Rabbi Akiva would feel if he would be standing in the center of Yerushalayim today, seeing the elderly, the children? Would he be misachek? Or would Rabbi Akiva be dancing for joy? For Rabbi Akiva to be present at the Kiyum HaNevuah, he's menachem Chachmei Yisrael by telling them that I now believe with perfect faith that what Zechariah said is going to be fulfilled. Kal v'chomer ben benosho, kal v'chomer. If Rabbi Akiva would see it, he would jump for joy. And if we don't jump for joy when we see the words of Zechariah fulfilled before our very eyes, it's for only one reason. Because we have not yet fulfilled the mitzvah of lehizbonen b'chasdei Hashem. We have not yet fulfilled the mitzvah saseh of v'yidbonenu chasdei Hashem. Things can take place before your very eyes. I'm sure somebody will be standing in the middle of Yerushalayim with Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva will be jumping for joy, and this other guy will say, that woman is not dressed, sneezed to Kashamanaraka. You see that Kaifa Behikar over there walking without a yarmulke, and there's a worse, there's one that a little Pepsi. What's that Pepsi? I don't know, Rabbi Akiva would know. You know what Rabbi Akiva would see? Rabbi Akiva would see before his very eyes the perfect fulfillment, the Kiyum of a Nevuah said 2,500 years ago. What beautiful psuk in there, I think it's chapter 8 in Zechariah. What do I need chapter 8 in Zechariah? It's a Mordechai ben David song. That's where we learn Tanakh today. Isn't there a song? Huh? It's a beautiful song, the one about, oh, Yeshu Zakenu Zakenu. Oh, God, go back to your discs. It's a gewaldig, a beautiful song. Yimolu rechovotea. Yiladim yilados v'sachakim berechovotea. Rabbi Akiva would see the Kiyum HaNevuah. Rabbi Akiva would be mizbonein b'chazdei Hashem. As I say, I don't really care anymore how anybody is going to celebrate. Hallel doesn't need a lawyer to take care of it. My flag has survived already 5 days in Harnov, which is a record, a world record. I'm now beginning to think that I may put on my second flag, because last time I put on two, I lost them both. Now that one has survived, achshav sheraisi, that one survived, now I know that even two may survive. There is nothing worse than being kofer b'tova. One of the first tainas that the Rebbein Shem has to Adam Arishon, kan kofar b'tova. I did a teva for you, and you don't even acknowledge it. The worst thing can be one who's not nizbonen b'chazdei Hashem, one who can't see. Feel with his own neshama what we've been zeicha to in our time. What a simcha gedola. There are problems. Im yirtzeh Hashem, we'll deal with the problems too. We'll overcome. There will be ups. There are going to be downs. There's a process. Was everything uphill from the moment Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim until they came into Eretz Yisrael and afterwards? There weren't ups and there weren't downs and there weren't crises and there weren't difficulties and there weren't obstacles. Of course there were. Because that's life and that's people and that's history. But we have one ace in the hole. The ace in the hole is that we have Hashgacha Pratis. The Rebbein Shem is out there watching over us. And we have been the great beneficiaries of the Chazdei Hashem of a land that is giving out its produce, which is the first step in the process of Geula. We've been zeichet to a kibbutz galios unparalleled in all of history. We've been zeichet to atzmaut. What we have to learn is to make of this something that will ultimately be the great Kiddush Hashem in the whole world. And the fact is, with all of the problems, we've done a pretty good job. The Rebbein Shem didn't make a mistake when he chose Klal Yisrael. You take a look at the world today and you see such a tremendous amount of immorality and hypocrisy. And above the fray, I think we stand right there as Am Hashem. Zeh Hayom, Osa Hashem, Nogilo V'Nisvetopo. I'm going to be very happy on Yom HaTzmaut. And remember one other thing. It always is preceded by Yom HaZikaron. It's also, the fact is, over 20,000 people gave their lives in the last 55 years. We owe them Hakaras HaTov. We owe them Hakaras HaTov too. I don't think there's anything wrong. I'm not telling you what to do. I know what I'm going to do. By the way, I'll end with a pasuk. The Eben Ezra says this on the pasuk: Mi chacham v'yishmar ela v'yizbonenu chazdei Hashem. So he says, what's the pshat? Is v'yizbonenu chazdei Hashem? So he quotes part of a pasuk. I have to find the whole pasuk. Elihu, the fourth friend of Iyov, says to him, Ha'azino zos Iyov, listen to this Iyov, Amod v'hidbonein nifla'ot Hashem. Iyov, stand. And the Mepharshim say, you know what Amod means? Be silent. Does it mean stand and be silent? Chapter 37 in Iyov. Ha'azino zos Iyov, Amod v'hidbonein nifla'ot Hashem. You have to sometimes stand silently for a moment and be mitbonein. And be makir tov to a Rabbeinu Shlelem and to all those to whom we owe everything that we have here today. Yeah. Every year. Can I just take a minute, if you don't mind? Where do you come from? Huh? New York.
Where? What part of New York? Not West Hampton, huh? Huh? New York. What's the name? Sick Dark Road. Where are you going when you come back from here? Where? Do you have anything for that? If you'd ask some of your bedolim whether you should go to college, would they tell you to go to college?
Would they tell you to go to college? Or would they say, no, you're not going to college? Why are you being selective? College, you're not going to listen to them. But how will you want to listen to them? You're being selective. All right, good. I attacked it. All right, now we got the fight is on. You're being selective. Huh? What? I can't hear. What?
No, I didn't start off with you. The answer is simple, and I said it earlier. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I couldn't care less whether you say how or you don't say how. I'm not interested in that. I've had that question every year. Do whatever you want. I told you what I will do. And I said, the whole shiur was on the bone move. Can't stay up, Chef. If you don't want to say how, don't say how. And then, of course, I don't want to get into the story. I have money going. The whole point was about Herzog said to say Hallel. That Mark Eldel said to say Hallel. Ron Spirit said to say Hallel. That's not the point. That's not the point at all. Not at all. And that's why I was very clear that what I wanted to tell you with these Bonu Hase Hashem. Because when the whole thing boils down to, do you say Hallel or you don't say Hallel, you know what happens? The significance of the day is lost in this absolutely asinine machlok. That's what I'm saying. I don't care what to do. I don't care what to do. I'm going to say Hallel. I have my shita, I have my approach. I'm going to say Hallel, and I'm going to say it with a bracha, and I'm going to say it with great kavanah. That's fine. Yes, with the prophet too. That doesn't make any difference. There can be also, there can be so many different in Hartman, they still have to make some difference. I came to make one point.
How can you make a minute
nowadays? Why not?
How can you just understand a minute?
I'm going to take a look at hundreds. I'm not going to. If you want a shiur on Hallel, I'll come back and I'll say a shiur on Hallel. The Chayyadin at the end of the Sefer says that there was once that his house was nearly burned down completely and it was saved, so he made it a yomtov for his family, the Dorei Doros, to say shiur, to say bach, to make sudas, to say Hallel. There are 84 different Purims that were made by Jewish communities in the world. 84 different Purims when communities were saved from destruction and they said Hallel and made Sudas. If the halacha is a Kohen who does a nest here, you can make a yanta for that nest. That's all.
So why do we have these in the Purims?
Because they were, there was Purim of Frankfurt, there was Purim of Strasbourg, there was... If you want a shir on Hallel, get Rabbi Cohen to find a song and to give a shir on Hallel. I came here to talk about things that don't name the Chasdei Hashem. Next. You want me? What you want me? What do you want? What do you want?
You said that,
what do you want? You want to know when the first tomato?
The Jews start coming back, and the Jews start coming back, right?
Yes.
So that means one is state, Israel starts.
Of course.
Israel doesn't have anything, right? So why is all? Why do you want to just start happening?
I gave you the answer. Ezra and Nehemiah could not make Yom because they were not free, they weren't independent. The moment they became
that's what
the rabbi said in the Luchas Chaim. Take a look at the first halacha in the rabbi. Cause our mouth was to be so yet, but I'm a thank God, it's the very same rabbi.
The main thing is that we're independent.
Of course, independent.
That's what they had.
Independence means, what's the meaning of independence? Independence means that there is a small amount of walls for us exclusively. We are not under a British Empire or under a Roman Empire or under the Persian Empire. Look at the Rabbi, the first Rabbi of the comic. It's so clear.
So the Venice, all the words that happened, that were saying the
Kadeshan. Well, Kadeshan is everything. Kadeshan is Hexan Kula. Kadeshan is Kibus Kola.
We also want to say Kadeshan.
You know, you're going to have to explain something to me.
I'm wondering, somebody's going to have to explain to me why you get hung up. I make such clear statements that I tell you that Ezra and Nehemiah did not make a yontif because they said we are avodim to malchei poras u'madai. And as long as they can be avodim to another state, to another power, we're not free. The Rambam says, when Malchus returned to Klal Yisrael, when the Hashanah came in, they made a yontif and they said Aleph. Independence therefore became the final state. There was Beit HaMegulah, there was Kibbutz Golios, the establishment of the state, and of course Kibbutz Golios and Beit HaMegulah has been continued. It's not something that starts at one single mountain top.
It's been a whole amazing process that has
happened. So when they got the government act, they didn't interfere. There was no specific people.
Why?
So when they got control, it was not just every year.
Did you think they got to that age?
How many does that mean? Well, let's find out how many does that mean. How many does that mean?
You said that people were staying with their own personal.
Yes.
When were you staying?
Oh, God, I'm right. God. Kohapodesh Nidarte Tzibur Va'omer Sholom Alay Nafshi Malachim Hamelavin Oto. Hit him. I am part of Klal Yisrael, Habibi. I am part of Klal Yisrael. And if my fellow Jews have been saved, that's my Hatzolah too. It's just me. If I say there was a nest done to Klal Yisrael.
We should keep all the promises of all the miracles that are done here.
All right. Next. I can't. I'm not answering your question because, number one, that's not the issue. Number two, that's not what I came here for. And number three, every person can just go to the Shulchan Aruch that families and people and communities had a right to make a Yom Kippur because they were saved. The Hatzol of Eretz Yisrael was a Hatzol of Klal Yisrael. The Gemara in Hurriya says, Kol Hashem is only Eretz Yisrael. If Frankfurt was saved, the Frankfurt was saved. Klal Yisrael gets Eretz Yisrael. It's a gift to all of Klal Yisrael. So, you know what? Find the 84 and say how the lady's working. And I got lost. Don't be afraid. Because this was done for Klal Yisrael. The gift of Eretz Yisrael is not to Ben Gurion. It's to every Jew, wherever he may be, with Dorei Doros. The gift of Eretz Yisrael is every Jew. Every Jew.
Okay, one question per person. A lot of people.
You had your turn. Let's go. Now, come on. Shut.
A little bit louder,
Yes.
So then
it would be any day, so on any day less my visiting. So if on any day, you'll say why that day and why not the next day? Why not the day? So that what happened on that day is Eretz Yisrael became how was the British left on that day? That's the day on which Eretz Yisrael became our property. There is no other day in the year that happens. Only one day. Are we still in Gold? Why is the place on this I now see that what I came to discuss today was so terribly important. You can't see a difference that 2,000 years Eretz Yisrael doesn't belong to us. You understand there were hundreds of thousands of Jews the day before that wanted to get into Eretz Yisrael and couldn't. And from that day on and further, every Jew in the world had a place to go. That's not a mess of Hatzolah for all of Klal Yisrael. I don't know. Purim was in Gaul, so what? Why can't you make a celebration? Purim was a Gaul celebration. Purim was a Gaul celebration.
Everyone has to have a chance, so then one question per person.
I am ready to say that with part of this item I accidentally failed. I managed to fail. One cannot see the difference of what took place on that day, and there's a tremendous amount, really, I tell you honestly, with a great deal of people in earth. We really have to understand that Mamish is the day on which Eretz Yisrael became the property of
since the time of Yeshua ben Nun or the time of Ezra and Samuel, and if that's not significant historically, I really don't know whatever else could be significant historically.
Wow, wow.
No, the chief rabbi did. The chief rabbi did. Great Gedolei Yisrael. And if I show you the list of 80, 90 Gedolei Yisrael at the time that signed the proclamation for Yom HaTzimut, you wouldn't know what hit you. Counting the chief Pesach Frank, who was Rav Harashi of Yerushalayim. It wasn't Ben Gurion. It was Tomid Eden who understood that what the Rebbeinu did for us on this day was unparalleled in history. That's what happened. Absolutely. Absolutely. You know what your problem is? You're 55 years down the line. And that's why Yizbonu Nuchaz de Hashem is, you have to be able to see what took place on that day. You were there. That's exactly what I'm talking about. Rabbi Ben Gurion. There were proclamations by all the Gedolei Eretz Yisrael. But over the last 55 years, you understand, there are a whole bunch of them that became Kanoim. And what's their Kanoias? Really not Somers. It's a negation of Yizbonu Nuchazdei Hashem. It's a rejection of Akaras HaTov. Don't buy into it. Don't buy into it. Any healthy human being of any people, you know what? I'm afraid to say that some of you can understand July 4th better than you can Hey Eon. There's something wrong with it. Something wrong with it. Where did you get poisoned? I don't understand. Where did the poison come from? Any healthy human being, would see that a moment of such chesed, of such Yad Hashem, is something to cry out with great joy. And you have your problems with your hallels and your hings and your hairs, and the Rabbi Ben Gurion, you got a problem. You got a problem. And you really have to think it out all over again. You have to take a look historically what happened and how we benefit from it ad Yom Hazeh. Yes?
Are you saying that there are bottom,
Oh, give me a break. I'm not even going to deal with your question. I presented my position. You don't like it?
You said that these people who don't do it are negating Chas Hashem.
I can guarantee you that the Chazal Mish was not, because you say Halleh? So
I remember going with somebody to the Yashiv.
Some Rashida, who I told him, listen, if you don't want to keep going, so what about Yom Yerushalayim? It's fine, Yom Yerushalayim, big deal, Yom Yerushalayim. This is 1959, it's 69. So I told him, come, let's go. There's a good Jew in Eretz, but he wasn't too known then. I knew him then, because I got smicha from him. So I told him, come, let's go to Rav Yashiv. All right. So this hotshot Rashida from the United States, I tell him, Yom Yerushalayim. You know what Rabbi Yashiv told him? You were sitting in the United States. Well, for 19 years, we had to look there, and we couldn't go to the Kotel. You don't begin to understand what a simcha it was for us the day that we can go to the Kotel again. Direct quote, I was sitting there. I said a few times, and I'm not going to say it again, I couldn't care less how you mark the day. I can't care, you don't want to say Hallel, you think it's a big Aveira, do whatever you want. It was so carefully prepared to talk about a mitzvah saseh of Yizbonenu Chasdei Hashem. And you know what I suggest you do? I really suggest that you should learn the history of Jews after the Second World War. I think you should learn what the Second World War was all about. You should learn about the Jews that were sitting tens of thousands in Cyprus because the British had sent them to concentration camps there.
You have to know about 1 million Jews in Arab countries that were waiting desperately to get out of there. When you know all of that, you'll begin to have a little bit of a feeling of the great Chesed Hashem. Yes.
Wait, anybody else? Before? No, you guys.
He
doesn't come
back and check the cover up. He does this fellow that's sitting there paying the alcohol. Wow. I guess I'm not like taking a different stance on this, because I agree with you that there was a miracle. I don't think a lot of people don't, like, a lot of people won't relate to it, but like, under, I understand what you're saying about what happened in the past, right? We saw the tournament and stuff like that, and you brought up the stuff, right? Like, about the three steps, you know, going up. So, that's all in the past. Like, there's obviously there's two different groups of people. Like, there's, I guess you can call like the both that all okay people. I'm just making up two groups, right? But like, there's lots of different ways of like dealing with the fact that you know there's no stigma. So like, there are some people that they'll love to say, well, yeah, it's another like random thing. And then there's obviously, you know, like how you said, there's this is the beginning of the Gula. So assuming that this is the beginning of the Gula, like, where do we take it from there past that? Like, what do you do in the future? I mean, obviously, it's, you know, like, moved to the, you're saying that back to the mock and stuff. Well, what else? Like,
well, you said the first step is that every full of Jew and cooks are tested coming out again.
What else to do?
But, wait a minute. When we're finished with that, then I'll talk.
But let's get that, just that little thing out of the way. You know what I mean? Empty out the bone, plant those into Mansi, Pinek, and then we'll see what else is left.
Assuming that for people that have moved, let's say people have already moved to Israel, like a lot of people are still moving, so apart from that,
every mitzvah that we do in Eretz Yisrael, every plant from Mara that we learn in Eretz Yisrael, every Jewish child we bring into the world in Eretz Yisrael, is intensifying and strengthening the process in which we find ourselves. It's an unending process. It does not end until Fiat Goel said, and then if you want to know what to do then, I think you'll get it.
So pretty much once all of you
living, the river is all good. Chazal said it so many places. Chazal said it in so many places that this is a process that can take place over a long period of time. It's not a one single one. It's a process. The process takes years. And we are, thank God, in the middle of that process. Go ahead.
Wow.
I don't know what, I mean, if you're coming to the side that I see, but I'm having trouble with seeing, okay, so fine, so you say you don't have to do this through Hull, but I'm having trouble with seeing the side that says one should not give a course to a Tuesday,
for
your mother, I don't understand that.
Right.
You know that.
Right. In the dorm tonight, you get it.
Where is it?
Where is
it? Where is it?
Next question. Give other people a chance, Roberto. It's really not fair.
Just one more.
Loud, loud. Next question. I'll repeat it again 10 times, I'm so clear. It was the day on which Eric
marriage is sold and paid for property is fund yourself. That's an act of Hashem. Is that an act of men or an act of our coach program? Is it Rabbi Ben Gurion who gave us Eretz Yisrael, or is it the Rebbe who gave us Eretz Yisrael? That great gift was the time we did in the first process of Pahula. Not so terrible, but what's the problem? It's a natural moment that we should celebrate. Come to that. And you don't think a human being would do that. It's precious. You have to just have a simple, not profound, healthy nature. That's all. And these things become so convoluted by us Jews. It's unbelievable. What could be understood by any other people over here becomes like, this is bad. I don't understand. Any healthy, natural people would stand up on a day that the grid is clean, that our soul becomes hot, and say, "Hey, will I shut you down if you go to the house?"
Wow.
Huh?
This I'm going to respond to. Because the fact is that I responded to it earlier this year, and the chat went by me. I want to make sure I responded. Because this is the kind of thing that's done. A good, they acknowledge declaration of independence, and they did. They didn't put the name of the revenge in the fact is that they did by putting the talk of Surya's file. They did. You understand? You know what that is? The whole debate about whether God's name goes into the Declaration of Independence or not. You will be for eternal shame of who you are. Because we didn't come. If we would have come in the first half of the last century, we would have been the Balabat. We didn't come. They came, they died, they built it, they became the Balabat. We gave them Eretz Yisrael. We said, let them die from malaria, and we'll come like shiny Eden when it's all finished. The fact that there had to be a battle over it, and thank God there were 3-4 Kumiditan over there who fought for that Surya Israel. Because they built it. That's right, non-religious Jews built it. They had the source.
Because we were sitting around the yurt. And we didn't come. The Chofetz Chaim said go. Rabbi Yisincha said go. The Netziv said go. We didn't come. They came. They built. And we're still suffering from that. So anybody who tells me about the fact that the name of God is not because they're a bunch of delaying, because we weren't there. We were absent. And we're going to pay for that absence for many years to come.
That was our gift. Yes.
I was just curious, you know why. There are plenty of Gedolim that say yes, plenty of Gedolim that say no. I'm not going to debate that because a lot of Gedolim I was alive when they said yes, whatever the case is. The Gedolim that we follow today, from what I know of, the Gedolim that we hold us today, that if we don't know a halachic question, we don't know something that we go to for guidance, they don't say to do something. If they said have a meal, if they said say how, whatever they said to do.
I
take
it
if
you're not going to college.
You don't
know. No, I understand. You know, you're making your point, and I'm making your point.
I don't know.
I'll say it now. It's for the 20th time.
I'm going to say how. I'm
you want to do. If you just have, the way you have a and you want to speak to your Gazelle, God bless you. Whatever you want. I'm presenting the view. I just want you to understand my view.
I understand.
Okay.
Why don't I go
and I'll ask one more question. I'm going to ask this question again. What you just not said. I'm going to ask that question again. You don't have to be nice to me. I want you to be brutally honest, but thought this out. Did what I say, forget about the Gedolim, forget about the Rabbanim, forget about if you can do it. Did I make sense or didn't I make sense? Did I make sense?
All in sense.
The other side is somebody else. And I don't want to tell you one thing. The moment that a person is going to say, just remember this, anybody who discusses it, the moment he's going to say, the Gedolim said, you know what that means? He hasn't thought it out. He doesn't have a clue. He hasn't spent any time. He knows nothing about the history. It's a very easy and convenient way of, I'm talking from everything, I don't have to think. And that's a question, and that's a doubt. That's fine. All that I wanted to do was present what I believe to be a healthy, normal Torah position. You want to find out, invite somebody else to find out if they have.
Why are they going on that day? That's the question we're trying to get at. I understand.
It's not fair. I don't have to answer the same question.
Evan, I'll talk to you first.
Yes?
When you
don't say no, they don't do anything.
Louder.
Take a look in Rashi in Yeshayahu, chapter 11, pasuk 11. Where Yeshayahu says, I will take you shameless. I'm going to take you a second time and bring you back to Eretz Yisrael.